I invite you, if you will, take your Bibles and turn with us to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. I will begin reading in verse 38. The Bible says, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was every man laid. There laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. One of the more amazing attributes of God is His absolute sovereignty over all things. We who know Him know that He is the supreme ruler of the universe. And we also believe that He has full control and complete authority over all things in life. David said in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 11 and 12, David says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come unto thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all." We realize that God is all mighty and all powerful. And our God is a God of details. He leaves nothing to chance. Nothing ever catches God by surprise. And even the smallest details are important to Him. Our tendency in life is to get as close as possible or as good as we can, but not God. God gets it perfect every time. He never says, "Well, that's just about as good as I can get it, so I'll leave it at that." God never says that. It is something seen in all the scriptures. How detail after detail was fulfilled about the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In John chapters 18 and 19 alone, we find the words might be fulfilled four times. Also, we find the word should be healed once. So five times in these two chapters, it refers to things being fulfilled. As a matter of fact, in the four gospel records, no less than 50 times is that said about Jesus Christ. Over and over and over, it might be fulfilled. In chapter 18, in verse 9, and notice what he said, that the saving might be fulfilled. Verse 32, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled. Chapter 19, verse 24, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 28, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith I thirst. Over and over and over, in every way, Jesus fulfilled all the law and the prophets. And we come to the burial of Christ. It is something often passed aside. We ought to talk about the crucifixion and definitely the resurrection. But if we bypass the burial of Christ, we overlook some vital details about it. You realize Isaiah 53 and verse 9 says that he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. You realize that wouldn't make a lot of sense except the Bible tells us here and in Matthew that Jesus was buried in the grave or the sepulcher owned by Joseph of Arimathea. The Bible tells us Joseph was a wealthy man. So we realize Isaiah's prophecy was fulfilled. Jesus himself said one time that Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, servest the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Jesus also said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. All of that was fulfilled. Jesus, hey, 3 days, 3 nights in the tomb. After the 3rd day, Jesus rose again from the dead. All of that fulfilled. Jesus was taken off the cross before sunset. Why is that important? In Deuteronomy, it says someone that is killed and hold a tree says his body shall not remain on that upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged on a tree is accursed of God. You realize the Romans had them talked about Roman soldiers in the lesson. Roman soldiers often would leave those crucified on the cross for days. Then let the birds of the air eat on them. They would, when they took them off the cross, they would cast them aside for animals to eat. Or they would take them to the valley of Gehenna outside Jerusalem and cast them in the fire to be burned. But it was prophesied Christ would not stay on the cross by a sunset. He said those who do are accursed of God. So Jesus was taken down. You'll also find, and Adam referred to it, how the soldiers would break their legs. But the psalmist prophesied that a bone of Jesus would be broken. So when they broke the legs of the thieves, they came to Jesus and found he was dead already. That fulfilled the prophecy. You also realize after one died on the cross, the Romans would Jacob's spear stabbed him into the chest, caught the death stroke, just to make sure they're really dead. They took a spear, jabbed it into the side of Jesus, blood and water came out. Why blood and water? There are those in the medical profession that say under intense emotional stress, a person's heart can literally burst and blood mixes with lymphatic fluid in the pericardium. So when they, with the spear stabbed Jesus Christ, blood and water came out. Why? Telling us that on the cross, Jesus suffered so greatly, his heart actually ruptured. Some may say, preacher, I've never heard that. Well, you have today. Because that is what happened to our Lord on the cross. Say, preacher, do you think that happened during those hours of darkness? I do. I believe when he suffered like nobody else could suffer, he, at the end, as Adam referred to, said, "It is finished," gave up the ghost. Jesus died there on the cross. John tells us that that was all fulfilled. Verse 37 said, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. All of those details, things that for the most part we'd overlook, God never overlooked a single one. Every prophecy about Christ was fulfilled to every detail. Every detail. That reminds me of what Paul said to the king one day. Paul said, these things were not done in a corner. Paul said it was all by God's hand, God's plan. It was all fulfilled, and we see that. But where I really want to look for the remainder of our time, and I'll not take a long time, I am interested in Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph is a man that, according to Matthew chapter 27, verse 57, when even was come, There came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just. Said the same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. So we learn some things about Joseph. Joseph was a just man. Joseph was a man that knew the Lord. Joseph was a man lived to honor God in his life. Joseph, it says, was himself a disciple of Jesus. Mark said he was an honorable counselor. Also in Luke, describes him as being a good man and just. John tells us who, that Joseph, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, of all the good things in Joseph's life, Joseph was a secret disciple. I want to look at just a few things and I'm done. First of all, I want to think about the Christ for which Joseph sought. Mark 15 says about Joseph that he waited for the kingdom of God. Joseph was one of those faithful servants like Simeon and Anna, which was waiting for the Messiah to come. Joseph believed that God's Messiah would one day come, and he was seeking and waiting for him to come. That word waited means to expect fulfillment. Joseph believed in his heart he is coming, and he lived with the expectation that the Messiah was coming. So I believe when Joseph heard about Jesus, saw Jesus, watched his life, Joseph realized this is the Messiah that was to come. Joseph waited expectantly for him to come. That brought up the question in my mind, are we waiting expectantly for him to come again? I believe that it isn't long. I believe it can come at any moment. Our expectation ought to increase day by day. Every day I live, I wake up thinking, Lord, maybe today will be the day you come. Wouldn't that be wonderful? 4 years, I have taught a lot about how the Bible says in the end, how that Jerusalem, that all the nations would turn against Jerusalem, against Israel. And I've watched our nation, and I thought, you know, our nation has been a friend to Israel. But if you've watched much news, I am watching our nation slowly turn away from Israel. I thought it was interesting. Just the other day, Anthony Blinken, our Secretary of State, met with Netanyahu in Israel, talking about Israel's campaign in Gaza. After the meeting, Blinken made this statement. He said, Israel's in a dangerous place. They are facing the possibility of being isolated by all the nations in the world. My first thought was, wow, God's word again is being fulfilled right in front of our faces. All of the nations of the world are considering pulling away from Israel. But I want to tell you, we need to be waiting expectantly for His return. But that word waited also means to receive the one's help, to give access to one's life. I don't know where it happened. Somewhere Joseph gave the Lord Jesus Christ access to his wife. That's why the Bible can say he was a disciple of Jesus. But notice also the cost that Joseph could not bear. Joseph was a secret disciple. Joseph didn't step out and talk about Jesus and following him till the death of Christ. What was Joseph's problem? The problem was that the Jewish leaders had agreed that if someone acknowledged Christ and followed him, they would be excommunicated from the synagogue. That's what happened in John 9. To the man that was blind and Jesus healed him. Then they asked him about Jesus. And he said, whether he be sinner or no, I know not. All I know is that whereas I was blind, but now I see. And they got angry and cast him out. It's communicating. You see, Joseph was a leader among the Sanhedrin. Joseph just couldn't bring himself to stand up and say, I believe in Jesus. We might criticize that, but I'm afraid there are people today saved by the grace of God are ashamed to stand up. Possibly at work. Possibly to their family. Possibly to friends. Possibly at school. They're ashamed to stand up and say, I believe in Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my Savior. I want to tell you, part of being a child of God is willing to rise up and say, I love Him. Talk about me if you want. Criticize me if you must. But I'm following Jesus. I'm following Jesus. But then the last thing, I want to bring out the cross that captured his heart. You see, after Jesus was dead, Joseph and Nicodemus got down the body of Jesus. And with tenderness, having brought 100 pounds weight, spices and myrrh, they tenderly took down the body of Jesus, wrapped it in linen. How the Jews would bury him. Yes, they would take those spices and myrrh and aloes and all of that around the body. And they would wrap them, putting more spices. They'd wrap them, putting more spices. Till they had used the spices and had the body all wrapped up. I believe Joseph and Nicodemus did that with such loving care, taking care of the body of Jesus. Bible said then there was a tomb near the garden. Joseph and Nicodemus took the body of Jesus, placed it in the garden tomb. Apparently they were not thinking about a resurrection at all because they sealed the tomb with a stone and they went away. You realize that when Joseph went before Pilate, asking the body of Jesus, being a secret disciple was over with. Because everybody was going to know he was a follower of Jesus. When he and Nicodemus took down the body and wrapped it, placed it in the tomb, everybody would know they were disciples of Jesus. The idea seemed to be, kick us out of the synagogue, criticize us, whatever. We're going to stay with Jesus. What made the change in their life? One thing, the cross. Isaac Watts said once in his hymn, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest thing I count the loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." That's what changed the heart and the life of Joseph of Arimathea. When he stood by the cross and realized Jesus died for him, that turned his whole life around. I want to tell you, if there's anything that's going to cause us to rise up in these last days, be counted as one of Jesus' followers, is when we realize the glory of the cross and how it changed our life because of that. Because he died for me, that makes me want to live for him. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." Paul said, that's what motivates me. That's what keeps me going, is realizing how much he loved me and gave his life for me. I'll be honest with you today, sitting in hearing me preach week after week, I don't have the ability to motivate you to serve and honor Jesus. But if you can ever see the cross, if the cross ever gets in your heart, it'll change your life forever and ever. I close with this. As all of this ends, as Joseph and Nicodemus go to their house, the women watched and saw where they buried him, thinking after the Sabbath was passed, we'll come back and anoint his body. They all walked away that day with sadness, with hurt, with emptiness. They had no doubt a lot of doubts in their minds that Sunday was coming. Sunday's just around the corner. Said that to say this, we all live our lives with a lot of hurt, a lot of disappointment, a lot of doubts and wonder at times. There's a better day coming. There's coming a day when it'll all be behind. And we'll see our Savior, the one who died for us. The challenge of my heart today in all of this, keep serving Him. Keep living for Him. Don't get so far away from the cross that it grows cold to you. But it reminds you every day of His amazing love and grace. Brother Kevin, will you get us a song? We'll stand in a moment and sing. There may be somebody here today that you've never really seen the cross to the point that it got in your heart like this. Maybe you need to come to Him today and ask Him to save you. But there may be a Christian here today. You say, "Preacher, I've been saved a good while, but it just don't thrill me. I find myself keeping quiet around others when I ought to speak up and let them know I love the Lord. I want to come back to Him and ask Him to help me that I'd not be a secret disciple, but I'd honor the Lord with my life." While we stand, while we sing, would you listen to the Lord today?